Good evening. Sing with me.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
We could do it in a round. Let's try it two times through.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but whosoever believed him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Would you turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. We repeat that verse often. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But recently, I think the Spirit of God has brought my attention to one word in that little word, so. God loves the world, but God so loved the world. Even though the world hated him, even though the world would take his beloved Son and spit on him and whip him, put a crown on his head, slap him, ultimately take him to a wooden cross and put nails through his hands and his feet. But God so loved the world that he put up with all that. He didn't have to, but then again, he did because of who he is. He so loved the world. He had us in mind. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. And he would go through all of that on our behalf. Say the verse with me and put the emphasis there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now again, let's do the same thing with the same emphasis, but put your name in it. I'll put my name in it. God so loved Steve that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 4, we read in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, we certainly didn't, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God so loved us. A couple months ago, it was my turn to give the devotional at the board meeting. And I gathered a few thoughts, and I thought if the board members don't mind, that I would share them with us all. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a sonnet, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. How do I love the assembly of God? How do I love the body of Christ? How do I love the brethren? How do I love his family, his church, how do I love the brethren? Let me count the ways. Of course, when we look at it, we don't really love him. We don't really love as we ought to love. But we read in Romans 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is love. He in our heart teaches us to love. Another place, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, you don't need to turn there, but you might turn to Romans chapter 12. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says that, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. How do I love the brethren? What are the ways that I love the brethren, the body of Christ? If God so loved the world, and he does, he loves even in a more special way his own people. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And he calls us his children, his own. He adopts us into his very family. The Lord Jesus calls us brothers. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So, in Romans chapter 12, I would like to have you read with me. In fact, let's read it responsively, beginning in chapter 12, verse 3, and we'll read down to verse 16. Verse 3, Romans 12. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
For that he hath many members, one body, and all members have not the same office.
So we, being many, are one in Christ, one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the provision of faith.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching.
Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Rejoicing in hope, continuing instant in prayer.
Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality.
Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits.
Now, in those verses, we see many ways that we should love the brotherhood, that we should love the brethren. We could count them. I'm not going to count them one by one, but think of some of the things. In verse 3, he says, not to think of himself, each of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. I love the brethren by having the right view of myself. Who am I? What am I? What do I have that I haven't received? Why then can I boast as if I'm somebody? I'm nobody, but trusting somebody. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, who made you to differ one from another? I glory in the cross. In the cross of Christ, I glory. In my death, I glory. I love the brethren by recognizing that, by recognizing that I'm nobody, but somebody trusting the Lord. I recognize the body. I recognize that God has said that he is making a body, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office in verse 4. We being many are one body in Christ. I recognize that God is doing something very special in this day. As we, as Pastor has been going through on Wednesdays, the mysteries. It's a mystery that what God is doing today. He's building his church. He's fashioning his bride. He's making up his body. And he's given that I should be a part of that. I need to recognize it. This isn't just a club. This isn't just a social group. This is actually the body of Christ. This is his building. This is his bride. By recognizing that, I am loving the brethren, loving what God loves. Having gifts differing one from another. I am gifted. Every child of God, every believer, everyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus has at least one spiritual gift. Now, we might not know what that is, but that's all right. God knows. And if we simply walk with him, abide in him, We'll do it, and maybe others will recognize, but I have a gift, but the gift isn't for me. The gift is for the assembly. The gift is for the church, and I need to recognize that I have a gift for you. I have something that God has entrusted to me when I sit in the assembly together with you. I am a part of the body, created by God, fashioned by God. I'm simply a part. I'm gifted for giving. The Lord Jesus himself said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And I, as a slave of Jesus Christ, that's what I do when I come. I come to minister. I get ministered too, but I come that I might minister. What's your ministry? As you come within the assembly, I show my love to the assembly by recognizing that I have a very special part, something that God's given to me that's for the assembly. We move along in those verses, and it speaks of rejoicing. Rejoicing. As Brother Mudge might say, rejoicing. I carry the joy of God. When I come together, when we come together, do I express the joy of God? I ought to show forth joy as I come to the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I should have a cheerful demeanor. Very often, we're kind of just mopey and somewhat into ourselves, and sometimes we walk past people. We don't say hello or anything like that. I should have a cheerfulness. I should have a showing of mercy, a showing of joy. I should live honestly, not hypocritically. Loving not in word, but in deed and in truth. Loving the truth, hating evil, clinging to that which is good. I should have a family affection toward my fellow believers. We are kin. We are family. We're family even greater than our original family, because this family lives and works forever. We are family. Be kin-like in our affection to one to another. That word Philadelphia, we often say brotherly love, but it's actually love as brothers. Now, not all brothers are loving as they should be, but we ought to love as brothers. How do I show the love to the assembly? I read that we should be, in verse 10, kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I put you ahead of myself as I come. I prefer you to myself, in honor preferring one another. I rejoice with those who rejoice, and I sorrow with those who sorrow. I owe that. Having one mind, be of one mind, loving unanimity. I ought to desire that we all think the same way. Well, that doesn't mean that we all have to like orange curtains. But if somebody does, that's fine. I'll prefer you in honor. In humility, recognizing my littleness, I'm just a part. I'm just a cell. My spleen just does its work, whatever its work is. It just keeps working. Doesn't favor the others, but it works on behalf of the others. It works on behalf of the whole body. And I ought to be as that, not minding the job, the gift that God has given, whatever that is, but simply doing as God has given it to me. Having the mind of Christ. We ought to look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Having the mind of Christ. And Paul writes in verse 1, chapter 2, Philippians, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. I ought to seek to be like-minded, thinking God's thoughts after him. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, no pride, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As he walked about, what kind of mind did he show? He had the mind of the Father, but he had the mind of service. We skipped over Ephesians. We ought to go back a little bit to chapter 4 of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, well, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Oh, sometimes there's a tendency toward that word gossip. Let no corrupt, I ought to speak rightly. No corrupt communication, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Is it my purpose to edify, to build up, to minister grace to the hearers? That's how I love the assembly. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, who is in me to show the love of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Mind you, he's writing this to the church at Ephesus. It's possible these things could be in the church, in the assembly. But if I love the assembly, I'm going to put away those kinds of things. I am going to not have any sharpness, harshness, bitterness, resentfulness toward any. I must instead, in verse 32, be kind, compassionate, benevolent, gracious, tender-hearted, forgiving in the same measure as I've been forgiven. Over to Colossians in chapter 3. And picking up in verse 12, it's said again, and these things are written to churches. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, putting up with one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Do I exemplify the peace of God as I walk about the assembly? Do I give evidence of a soul that's set free, a soul that is at peace? Thankful, thankfulness. Let the word of God, verse 16, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, showing a relationship to the word of God, carrying my Bible, opening my Bible, loving the word of God, teaching. I teach by example, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, singing with the brethren in the direction of the Lord. Others need to see you singing. They need to see me singing. Don't have much of a voice? Sing quietly. Sing with joyfully anyway, at least move your lips to show you that you're with it, that you're on the same page, as it were. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I need to quit, said one man, whose name will not mention, but I didn't mean to quit this early. But that's all right. 1 Peter chapter 3. At home in God's word, a song in my heart, others shall see it. David said, many shall see it and fear and believe and shall put their trust in the Lord. The new song that God has put in my heart. That ought to be. And when we're working together that way, others coming in certainly will notice what a different place these people. In fact, I remember one saying, you all actually love each other. And that ought to be. Well, finally, I work with children. I enjoy working with children. I do Bible line, 1:40. So I tend to be short. I tend to be short, and to do something long, it's just not me. But God's children, you don't mind the shortness, I trust. We'll have time to pray. 1 Peter chapter 3. That's different from 1 John. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 8, finally, Be ye all of one mind. How do I show love to the assembly? Being of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Well, that has a couple different meanings. Some people are pitiful, but others are full of pity. That's the idea there, that we ought to be full of pity. Caring, courteous, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, full of pity, courteous. I love the brethren by loving the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by loving the Lord Jesus himself, who gave his life, by loving his commandments and keeping his commandments, by resting with and in the Holy Spirit of God. And as I do that, I can't help but show a love for the people of God. Brethren, back to 1 John, we might as well close remembering that. 1 John chapter 4. Remembering God so loved the world. In this was manifested, verse 9, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.